Welcome to Cypherpunk Notes, where we explore digital privacy and sovereignty, not just the how, but the why. Whether you're just starting to question big tech or you're ready to encrypt everything, this is your guide to taking back control of your digital life. Here's a question that will define your entire privacy journey. What are you actually protecting and from whom? Because privacy isn't one thing. Protecting yourself from advertisers is different from protecting yourself from hackers. Protecting yourself from an abusive ex is different from protecting yourself from a government. The tools are different. The trade-offs are different. And if you don't know what you're defending against, you'll either do too little or exhaust yourself doing too much. Today, how to build your personal threat model. We've spent the last few episodes talking about why privacy matters. Government surveillance, corporate data collection, the permanent record of your digital life. Now it's time to get practical. Before we dive into specific tools and techniques, you need to understand what you specifically need to protect. That's what a threat model is for. A threat model is just a structured way of thinking about security and privacy. Security professionals use them. Intelligence agencies use them. And you can use one too. At its core, a threat model answers four questions. 1. What do I want to protect? This is your assets, the things that matter to you. Your messages, your location history, your browsing habits, your financial information, your identity. 2. Who might want to access it? These are your adversaries, the people or organizations you're protecting against, advertisers, hackers, your employer, your government, a stalker, an abusive partner. 3. What are the consequences if they succeed? This is your risk assessment, embarrassment, financial loss, physical danger, legal trouble, job loss. The severity shapes how much effort you should invest. 4. What am I willing to do about it? This is your trade-off calculation. Privacy often costs convenience. How much friction are you willing to accept? What habits are you willing to change? The answers to these questions are different for everyone. A journalist protecting sources has a different threat model than a teenager avoiding targeted ads. Neither is wrong. They're just solving different problems. Let's walk through the most common adversaries and what they typically want. Advertisers and data brokers want your attention and your profile. They track you across websites, apps, and devices to understand your behavior and predict your purchases. The harm is usually subtle: manipulation, filter bubbles, invasion of mental space. But it's pervasive. Hackers and criminals want your credentials, your money, or your identity. They use phishing, malware, and data breaches to steal passwords, financial info, and personal details. The harm can be severe: drained bank accounts, identity theft, ransomware. Employers may monitor work devices, track productivity, or screen your social media. The harm is reputational and professional: passed over for promotion, disciplined, or fired based on what they find. Governments and law enforcement can access your data through legal processes, surveillance programs, or by buying it from data brokers. The harm ranges from inconvenience to imprisonment, depending on where you live and what you're doing. Personal adversaries, stalkers, abusive partners, vindictive exes, may try to track your location, access your accounts, or gather information to harass or control you. The harm can be physical and immediate. Notice these adversaries have very different capabilities and very different goals. The tools that protect you from advertisers might not help against a determined stalker. The precautions that keep hackers out might be irrelevant if your government can compel your cloud provider to hand over data. Here's where most privacy advice goes wrong. It's written for worst-case scenarios. If you read privacy forums, you'll find people recommending Cubes OS and Faraday bags and air-gapped computers. And for some threat models, that's appropriate. If you're Edward Snowden, your precautions need to be extreme. But most people aren't Edward Snowden. Most people's realistic adversaries are: advertisers tracking them across the web, data brokers compiling profiles without consent, hackers looking for easy targets. Maybe an employer screening social media. For these adversaries, you don't need to be perfect. You need to be better than default, harder to track, harder to hack, less exposed. Privacy is about raising the cost of surveillance to the point where you're not worth the effort. For most adversaries, that bar is surprisingly low. Let me walk you through building your own threat model with concrete example. Example 1. The casual user. I just don't want Google knowing everything about me. Assets. Search history, location data, email content, browsing habits. Adversary, primarily Google and the advertising ecosystem. Risk, manipulation, creepiness, vague unease about being profiled, willingness, moderate, willing to change some apps, not willing to leave the smartphone ecosystem. Actions. Switch to DuckDuckGo for search. Use Firefox with privacy extensions instead of Chrome. Move email to Proton Mail or use email aliases. Review and limit location permissions on your phone. Example 2. The security conscious professional. I handle sensitive client data and can't afford a breach. Assets. Client data. Financial records. Business communications. Adversary, hackers, competitors, potentially disgruntled employees, risk, legal liability, reputation damage, financial loss, willingness, high, willing to invest time and some money in security, actions. Password manager with unique passwords for everything. Two-factor authentication on all accounts, hardware keys for critical ones, encrypted backups. Full disk encryption on all devices. Careful about public Wi-Fi. Example 3. The at-risk individual. I'm leaving an abusive relationship and need to disappear. Assets, physical location, new address, workplace, daily patterns. Adversary. A specific person with motivation and possibly access to shared accounts. Risk, physical safety, harassment, continued abuse. Willingness, very high, safety depends on it. Actions, new phone, new accounts, new email, nothing connected to the old identity. Audit all shared accounts and services. Careful about photos with metadata. Consider location sharing implications of every app. Alert friends and family about information hygiene. Each of these people has different needs. The advice that helps one might be overkill or insufficient for another. All right, here's your homework. Grab a piece of paper or open a notes app. We're going to build your threat model right now. Step 1. List 3 to 5 things you want to protect. Think about your messages, your location, your browsing, your finances, your reputation, your identity, your relationships. Step 2. For each asset, list who might want access. Be realistic. It's probably not the CIA. It might be advertisers, hackers, an employer, or someone in your personal life. Step 3. Rate the consequences if each adversary succeeded, low, medium, or high. Embarrassment is different from danger. Step 4. For your highest risk combinations, note one action you could take. Just one. We're not solving everything today. We're starting. Keep this threat model somewhere you can reference it. As we go through specific tools in future episodes, you'll use it to decide what's actually worth implementing for your situation. That's the end of phase 1. Over these first 6 episodes, we've covered why privacy matters, what surveillance looks like, and how to think about your own specific needs. Starting next episode, we get practical. Password managers, your first line of defense, then browsers, then search engines, then email. One step at a time, we'll build out your privacy toolkit based on your threat model. Until then, stay private, stay sovereign. Learn more at cypherpunkschool.com. This has been Cypherpunk Notes.